As Taoiseach, I want to see everyone reach their full potential. I want to help create an Ireland that drives innovation and creativity, an Ireland that is compassionate, tolerant and respectful.
On the things that really matter to workers and families, you have comprehensively failed, and no amount of bragging or bluster will disguise that fact.
Hello and you're very welcome to the Europolitics podcast. This is David Murphy and we're joined by Micheál Lehane, Juliette Gash and Fia Creagh-Cionna in our Leinster House studio. But we're also joined by Áine Lawler, who is in London, where people are currently going to the polls in what looks like will be a historic election. Áine, where exactly are you?
Well, at the moment, I'm sitting getting a cup of coffee in Victoria train station. We just landed at Gatwick a short while ago. And we're getting ready to go on air at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. By that stage, we anticipate we'll know the outcome. And really, the question is, it seems to be a foregone conclusion, a wipeout for the Tories. The question, the scale of that wipeout, is the tide going out for them more than there's a tide coming in for Labour? Can the Liberal Democrats beat the Tories into second place? Can Nigel Farage make it into the House of Commons, eighth time lucky? And the impact, how many seats can his Reform Party pick up? So lots of intriguing questions that will be answered over the night tonight.
So just bring us through exactly what's going to be the sequence of events over the next 24 hours.
Okay, so what happens is London's very nice, lots of people walking around. They're all voting until 10 o'clock tonight. At 10 o'clock tonight, obviously, it's a different voting system over here, first past the post. Some speculation, of course, that could maybe change under Labour over the course of the next 5 years. The Lib Dems did have a go at that in the past and it didn't work. But anyhow, polls close at 10 o'clock. And then the sophologist led by John Curtis, who at this stage will be a familiar figure, Professor John Curtis, to anyone who follows British elections. He and a team of sophologists are all working away on the exit poll. They're not allowed to communicate with the outside world. And when polls close at 10 o'clock, the results of that exit poll, which are usually fairly accurate, will be released. In fact, we'll be getting more data from that exit poll throughout the early hours of the night. Then from about 2 o'clock, we're going to start getting the results in. There will be some before that, but the big sweep normally start around two and the big ones come in around four. What to watch? The size of the vote for Reform. Will they get more than 12%? What does that indicate about the scale of the wipeout the Tories might face and the use of tactical voting against them? Nigel Farage, that'll be coming in around 4 o'clock. Also watch the big Conservative names, because if the polls were right, and they're only polls, they could be wrong, but they have been heavily suggesting one story, then even big names like Liz Truss, like Jeremy Hunt, like even outgoing Prime Minister, or about to be returned, if there's a miracle, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, even his seat could be in trouble. So it's going to be a fascinating night, David.
And what's the atmosphere like there? Do you get a sense there's an election going on?
No, because it's not like home. There aren't posters up everywhere. And a lot of the, it's interesting, the political parties here, the campaigning's much more data driven. So people have, parties know from the returns who's voted for them in the past, who's expressed a preference in the past. They tend to concentrate on getting their own vote out. So this is the other question for the Tories. Will their voters, disillusioned, will they stay at home? Will that increase the size of the Labour landslide? Will Labour voters who feel it's a foregone conclusion and they've been taking this Labour win for granted for so long, could they stay at home in enough numbers to make the difference? And behind it all, the issue is that I was just talking to my colleagues here, Kate Varley and Keane McCormack, those John Byrne Murdoch graphs that he has done in the Irish, in the Financial Times. There's one he did a while ago that I'm planning to dig out again tonight, and it's a fascinating one. And he was comparing poverty rates in the UK and in Ireland. And the situation here is far worse than it is in Ireland, which would be, you know, counterintuitive to many people who grew up thinking, you know, that this was a great big rich country and we were the small little poor neighbour. So the infrastructure, the sewage, the roads, the NHS, There are so the stagnant economy, the taxes that'll have to go up no matter who's in power. There's no sense, you know, nobody's running around singing Dee Ream here, David, that things are going to get better, or nobody's expecting miracles from Keir Starmer on Friday morning. I think it's just a feeling that after 14 years of Conservative rule, after all the divisions and divide over Brexit, I think there's just a feeling that 14 years, it's enough, it's over.
Áine Lawler in London, thanks very much for joining us and good luck with the election coverage tonight. I know you've got a long night and an early morning ahead of you.
Looking forward to it, David.
Micheál, it's obviously the government here in Dublin is going to be paying a lot of close attention to what's going on across the water.
Yeah, already the Taoiseach telling his party meeting last night that this does offer an opportunity for a reset in relations. What did we do before the word reset? Everything now is reset. It's custody. But anyway, it's going to be a reset.
Just unpackage that.
Yeah, yeah. So there's going to be a reset, he said, that should allow for a better relationship in the post-Brexit environment. And he'd be seeking to get all that rolling as quickly as possible, seeking the early as possible engagement. So I think that a clear signal already for what's expected there.
So we've also had some election news ourselves here in Dublin.
Yeah, well, it does seem that the moving forward of the budget confirmation of Moynihan Ireland by the Finance Minister, Jack Chambers, that it's going to take place on the 1st of October now, definitely does clear the way for an election to take place in November, it would seem. That would allow for a finance bill to go through, give it some time, and that it could be done comfortably. Now, government, of course, denying this, saying they will run their full term. But of course, they have to say that too, because a government that suggests anything else is in major bother. The power would drain away immediately from today. It does certainly heighten the speculation about that. There's no doubt about that. I suppose it is also notable that the previous finance minister never gave a hint that this was going to happen, that he was always working towards October the 8th, even if the Taoiseach is saying this lunchtime that that ECOFIN meeting, which is the apparent reason why the budget has to come forward, that Jack Chambers has to meet with his EU counterparts on the 8th of October, that was known about for quite some time.
But we've seen in the past that the junior minister has taken those meetings when it has clashed with the budget. We saw Piers Doherty point that out in the Doyle today. And I think it was Michael Darcy in the past took one of those meetings.
And I think there have been IMF events as well that government have had to attend on budget days that they have sent juniors to as a result of having to hold the budget. Now, the finance minister has kind of said that if he's going to the ECOFIN meeting, he has to really speak about the budget there and give an outline. But of course, the real deadline for that is submitting the budget to the European Commission. That is on the 15th of October. So that is the real deadline on that one. That's the EU deadline, not the ECOFIN meeting. So for all those reasons, I don't think it's nailed down, but I think it definitely buys government the option now.
Fiacre, just talk to us about some potential dates for the general election. There's an awful lot of speculation around Leinster House about when they may or may not go to the country. What are your own thoughts?
Well, yes, we've been speaking with a number of TDs and senators privately over the course of the day since Jack Chambers' comments on Morning Ireland this morning. There are a couple of specific dates that really are coming to mind. One is the 15th of November, the other is the 1st of November. Now, both of those are Fridays, and people might wonder, why is there a gap between those two dates? There's two simple reasons. So the logic goes that one, Ireland is playing the All Blacks on the 8th of November in Dublin. So any government party would probably be unlikely to want to have an election on that particular day if there is going to be an election in November. And in terms of the 1st of November, that falls into the bank holiday weekend. So, the 1st of November may also be a possibility as well.
Okay, so maybe an autumn election, but there really is a sense around at the moment, Juliet, that this is the kind of last days of this Dáil, as the Dáil rises this day next week. And we did see Catherine Murphy and Roisin Shortall announce that they're not going to be running in the general election. They're co-founders of the Social Democrats. A historic moment for that party.
Absolutely. I think it was fair to refer to them as trailblazers, as their own party leader did. And also just that they really beat a path, I suppose, for women TDs, Roisin Shortall being the longest serving female TD, which is no mean feat. And also just the fact, gender or not, you know, holding onto her seat for so many years and never losing it. I mean, that's seriously impressive. It is a shame to lose two such experienced women TDs, because there are obviously, there is a shortage of women TDs. But whatever, whenever the election is, it's going to look very, very different. We've got around 30 or so TDs who are not going to be running again, and that's a massive amount. And then there are going to be additional Dáil seats, so many, many new faces. So really interesting times.
Tuesday seems to be the day when TDs announce they're not going to run, and we could expect perhaps a few more next week.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are people still, I think, within Fine Gael who it's expected will signal that, that they're not running. And I mean, there'll be a particular focus on the former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. There are people too, like Simon Coveney, still some speculation about others like Michael Ring. I suppose September is kind of the time that is the deadline for Fine Gael to have all their candidates in place. But you think that work really does get underway through the summer? People kind of need the summer to get going as well. So I suppose there is a certain pressure now to clarify things before the recess, no doubt about that.
One other person who's announced that they're going to be departing their post is Eamon Ryan, Fiacra. And we know that we're going to have the outcome of the Green Party leadership race between Pippa Hackett, the Minister for State, and Roderick O'Gorman, the Integration Minister. We're going to have the outcome of that noon on Monday. What's the feeling in Leinster House on that?
Well, the feeling in Leinster House really is that it is firstly a sea change really for the Green Party. Eamon Ryan has been the leader of the Green Party for, you know, over a decade, and has brought it back from the brink of destruction really back into government. There is also maybe a feeling that, and Eamon Ryan has touched on this himself, that maybe it is time for a change. So in terms of the two candidates who are being put forward and have put themselves forward, Roderick O'Gorman, of course, what's going for him is that he is a full minister. He has had a number of very significant portfolios that he has been looked after, while Pippa Hackett is helping to address the fact that the Green Party is seen in some circles as being Dublin-centric, and of course Pippa, being from the Midlands, is able to counter that. Now, the negative for both of those, for Roderick O'Gorman, the issue for himself is that some of the topics he has had to have a responsibility for in government are divisive topics. While for Pippa Hackett, the criticism of her, and Roderick O'Gorman raised this in an interview with the Irish Examiner at the start of the week, is that she is a senator rather than a TD. And Roderick O'Gorman in an interview at the start of the week said, well, the last time that happened, it was Ciarán Cannon, who was leader of the PDs, that it didn't work out too well.
Juliet, obviously it's going to be a big change for the Greens, and it's really going to be critical for the party in the run into the election. They're down in the polls from where they were in the last general election. They didn't particularly have a good local and Europeans either.
Yeah, the Europeans in particular, losing both their MEPs was a real, I suppose, gut punch for them, because both were very highly regarded, and it was seen certainly in Dublin that Ciarán Cuff would hopefully keep his seat. I suppose Grace O'Sullivan's chances were seen as a little bit harder. Will they run in Dáil elections remains to be seen. I would see that as more likely for Ciarán Cuff than Grace O'Sullivan, but you wouldn't write them out either. And I think there will be interesting moves there as well with the prospective MEPs for the Sock Dems. Will they run in Dáil elections? Now, that has been confirmed by one but not the other of their two candidates.
And you're going to be travelling over to Strasbourg later this month for a big vote. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's going to be, it's the first plenary, so that's when the Parliament decamps to Strasbourg. It obviously has two locations, Strasbourg and Brussels. And so all of our new MEPs are going to be going over there. Some went very quickly, some didn't get the opportunity to go as quickly. So it'll be interesting to see them and how they get on. There will also be two votes for the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, which is expected to take place now on the Thursday. And that's all eyes will be on that. I mean, look, it's likely she'll get in at this point, but how Irish MEPs vote, whether they'll tell us or not, because it's a secret ballot, will be interesting too.
Fianna Fáil are in an interesting situation on this, Micheál, because we've had the Fianna Fáil MEPs saying they weren't going to back Ursula von der Leyen. We know that the Taoiseach Micheál Martin and Ursula von der Leyen stay in regular contact. There's clearly political pressure on these Fianna Fáil MEPs to back her.
Yeah, there is. I suppose what the Taoiseach will try and emphasise is that the government position is that they are backing Ursula von der Leyen. But is that sufficient? I mean, ultimately, when the Parliament vote comes in, if there's strong signals, and which there has been a fairly consistent from the Fianna Fáil MEPs that they're going to go another way. And ultimately, then that raises the question, does that present a difficulty for Michael McGrath and his prospects of getting a senior economic
position? So is there that kind of trade-off there that if Fianna Fáil backs Ursula von der Leyen, it helps Ireland get a good portfolio for Michael McGrath?
I think that's kind of the unwritten feeling, definitely. Also, is there something at group level or pressure at the group that Fianna Fáil is a part of? Could the pressure be applied at that level that would enable them to make a change? But I think definitely for some of those MEPs won't. They won't alter their position. Publicly will state that they voted against Ursula von der Leyen.
Okay, one other thing that came up in the Doyle this week, Fiacra, was the question of neutrality and defence and the question of the triple lock, which is key to Ireland's engagement in military activity abroad. Just explain for us what's going on and what's going to happen.
Yes, yeah, so this entire issue has come up again from two involvements that Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence Micheál Martin had in the past few days. On Tuesday he was in with the Defence Committee, and on Wednesday he was then in the Dáil to discuss what happened. He was bringing forward basically a plan in terms of the Defence Forces and future issues related to it. One of those issues, of course, is the triple lock, and he was asked by Raida Cronin of Sinn Féin in the committee meeting, you know, when is potential legislation or potential bill on potential changes to that coming up. Micheál Martin firstly suggested, well, maybe within the next week or so, maybe by the Dáil summer recess. And then when he was questioned on that, he said, well, actually, look, it may actually come up in around September. Now, Micheál Martin has been very clear in his view that even if there are some changes to the triple lock system, that would not affect Ireland's neutrality. He's saying that, look, this is just sometimes it becomes a too complicated a matter if you're looking to move some troops to one direction or other direction. Now, the opposition, though, say that, look, any small movement, any small change to the triple lock, if it happens, will in effect be an indication that maybe Ireland's neutrality is being circumvented to a degree.
Micheál, there was fairly fractious debate in all this last night.
Yeah, very, very bitter stuff. Catherine Connolly saying that the neutrality was being eroded bit by bit. That was because the Dáil last night voted on some measures. One is that Ireland will take part in an EU PESCO alliance now to try and safeguard seabed infrastructure, and that countries working together to ensure that that happens. Also working together on cyber defence, the need for greater cyber defence, and then some other more minor things like improving energy efficiency in the defence forces, which apparently does use an awful lot of the country's energy, and one that mightn't be widely known. It was that Micheál Martin was trying to emphasise, but getting really angry indeed at the suggestion that neutrality was being eroded, asking the opposition what bloody planet they live on.
Oh.
And for God's sake, to recognise Ireland's international record at upholding human rights.
It sounds a little bit. It sounds a little bit frosty, all right.
And while the triple lock didn't come up last night, there was a report circulated to opposition TDs which did reference that committee or that forum that took place last summer that looked at that issue. So the fact that that was included in that report did raise some alarm.
Juliet, you've been doing some voting of your own lately. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I got to vote this afternoon in the second round of the French elections.
You're a French citizen.
I am, yeah. And as you can tell from my accent, obviously. yeah, so they have two rounds. There was the election, I suppose the proper vote proper takes place on Sunday. But if you vote by internet, which a lot of French abroad, as we are considered, you can do it by internet. You can also nominate someone to vote for you. So they make it quite easy for people to vote. And I think that maybe Ireland could take a lesson from that. I also have Irish citizenship, so it's I wear both hats. But so in the last round of elections in Dublin, there were 9,677 French citizens registered to vote and 46% turnout. Now, that was lower than the overall French turnout, which was around 59%, which was vastly higher than it had been previously. Now what's happening is that there's 577 seats to fill in the French Parliament, and a number of those will represent the French abroad. You don't get to vote for sort of anyone, you know, you get to vote for a list of candidates. And interestingly, the French in Ireland voted for a Green candidate, number one, and the Emmanuel Macron's party, Renaissance, number two. So in the runoff, just those two are up for election. So you get to choose between one or two, because in that instance, the I suppose the far right candidate was really down in number three.
You've been watching all this closely. Did Emmanuel Macron make a huge error by calling this election?
It's clear now he did. Yeah, it was seen previously as a gamble and now it's seen as a gamble that's failed. He didn't have to call the election, and that's the thing that's really perplexing people. There was no need. He said it was to unite France after a dismal showing by his party in the European elections. And it was seen as a gamble of, OK, well, you weren't going to, you know, you wouldn't vote for the far right now, would you? And everyone, lots of people have said, actually, we would. And they got 34%, almost 34% in the French legislative elections, which was the number they got in the European elections. So it was a gamble that was just has not paid off.
OK, Juliet, one other topic that has been before the Doyle is the question of the TV licence fee. Micheál, what exactly is happening with government on that?
So government said there will be a decision on that before the summer break, but that doesn't mean the Dáil summer break, which is this day next week. It means when the cabinet stops meeting, which could be towards the end of July, further discussions between Catherine Martin and the government party leaders next Monday night, the Taoiseach said. Does that mean something goes to cabinet on Tuesday? Well, maybe not, because that's the day of the summer economic statement. So it might be another week after that. He spoke about three things last night, what has to happen. He said it has to be a sustainable model. It has to recognise public service broadcasting by others, not just RTE, and that reform continues at RTE. What way is it all going? Well, what you can sense is that Simon Harris likes the idea of a licence fee, but one that is reduced and possibly collected by revenue. Does everyone get on board with that? Well, that's not quite there yet.
OK, well, that's it from Your Politics. And we're all going to go off and maybe have a little bit of a rest before we stay up all night and watch the UK election. There's going to be coverage on RTE1 from 11 p.m. until 4 a.m. This evening. So that's it from us. Hope you join us next week.